Hi, this is Dusty, and before we start this week's show, we got about midway through it and realized that we should probably record a trigger warning. So, two warnings. One, we are discussing a game in which one of the NPCs was murdered on film, more colloquially known as a snuff film. So, disturbing topic, disturbing conversation follows. We talk about some of the role play by the victim's ghost about, you know, how she feels about that, and it gets pretty heavy. So trigger warning on that, and then further trigger warning on an honest discussion between a bunch of between 35 and 40-year-old guys about chivalry and their inability to overcome it to deal with a female antagonist. So, you know, violence and sexism this week on RPG Lessons Learned. RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We're at RPGLL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpglpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com. Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. With me, as usual, is Brian.
Hey, Dusty, how's it going?
And Mike.
Hey, Dusty.
Hey, guys.
I never say hey to you, Mike. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hey, doing good, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So today, we're talking about the fifth game?
Yes.
Fifth game in our East Texas University campaign. And geez, guys, what a cluster truck.
Holy moly.
It was bad, right? All right, so after the game, I was just ready to be done. So I said goodbye to you guys. I turned off Discord, and I went downstairs, and I was just done. So I didn't even get the numeric ratings. Let's start with the ratings.
Sorry.
I know.
Sorry.
Who wants to start?
Do tears count as a rating?
I know you each only need one hand for your ratings, so why don't you each come up with an... Okay.
I'll agree with that.
It's three.
Three. Yeah. All right, so both of you say three.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was bad. All right, before we get into why it's bad, let's talk about audio.
Yep.
So... again, we were on Discord, and again, with my new setup, things were great for me, but a new problem reared its head.
And it's interesting because we hadn't had this problem in the prior sessions, right? So I think the session we had last time, Chris played through his phone, and there were no problems at all, but for some reason on this session... there was weird lag and disconnects. And
so what was Chris? So it was localized to Chris.
It was
a Chris-based game.
Yeah.
Chris-focused game.
So, Mike, I was thinking about it. I think Chris probably had the same problems, but because the last game wasn't a Chris game.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So there weren't long periods where Chris was having to talk and carry and... tell us about his adventures in Gymkhana.
And Chris has fiber optic gigabit internet.
Yes. He does. That's the crazy thing about it.
I have gigabit internet, but it's copper-based.
The only thing I can think is that it's just the CPU requirements of Discord through a mobile device. That's the only thing I could potentially think of.
Oh, man. It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough. We turned... I mean, and Chris... all right, so Chris, we love you, buddy. Not about you.
It's not his fault.
No, absolutely not.
It's not his fault.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, he has these great speeches to deliver about whatever, about, you know, he's role-playing it up. This game was based on his character. So the game we were running was Maggie's Ghost. It's an ETU one sheet. We're still running the whole campaign based off of these one sheets. You can find it. It's free. Just search Maggie's Ghost ETU. The one sheet is based on... spoiler alert, if your GM's going to run this one sheet, then you might not want to listen. 3, 2, 1. The premise of the one sheet is that basically the school film department had some years ago released a snuff film. And the same professor was going to release another film, and the ghost was out to sabotage things.
So I'd heard the term snuff film before, but I didn't actually think it meant what it sounds like it means. Like it does.
It does.
It literally does.
It literally does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess for a family friendly show, maybe we shouldn't be talking about this, But it's
well, I think you can easily define it as capturing someone's real life murder on film, which is absolutely illegal, which
and
is why
horrific.
There are no actual real snuff films in the U.S. except for films you might find on the internet.
And because of the very serious subject matter.
Yep.
I expected it to be a very serious game. And my God, it was not. It absolutely.
So it was called Maggie's Ghost.
Yes.
Is it the same Maggie?
No, different Maggie.
So did the author not have a different name to pull out of a hat?
The same authors didn't write all these one sheets. So what Brian's referring to is there's this Margaret / Maggie the White Witch character from the
other sheet,
from the other one sheet, the scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And there's a different Maggie who was killed years ago for this one sheet.
Okay.
But it's two different Maggies. But yeah, it's called Maggie's Ghost. Anyway, I guess we could never get serious because there were just long bits of time where we're just having to go, like, Chris, we can see him talking, and we're like, Chris, we can't hear you, Chris.
There's a lot of lag to begin with.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, it was a lot of that. And then he would drop off for a long time. He switched devices. He rebooted his phone. So we're in the middle of this really heavy role play scene, and all the tension's just broken by the complete lag.
It's funny. I know physical distance doesn't matter so much, but Nathan can be measured in yards from my house, hundreds of yards.
Yep.
Chris is...
Well, if he was in California, you could still measure it in yards.
True. Chris is mile and a half as the crow flies, probably.
Yep.
And you guys are the ones who are farther out. But yeah, Chris's connection was just awful.
Yeah.
It was bad. And we were talking about how great Discord was on that other episode. And yeah, I just can't say that now after that experience.
Not for mobile devices, apparently. So if you're video chatting over Discord, yeah.
I know what we're going to try next time. Guys, I finally want to try Google Hangouts.
I'd be down with that.
It has an in-chat dice roller.
Yep.
Or it did. I haven't looked at the features lately. I know it's been changed all to pieces. But I want to try Hangouts for the next game and see how it works.
I don't know if it'll do group video conferencing, though.
It does.
Does it do group?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know it doesn't look that great. So, okay.
But we'll try it and see if it's less of a resource hog.
Okay.
So we're going to try that. Now, we'll lose Push to Talk, but Brian, our other audio issue was you hate Push to Talk.
Yeah. Actually, I turned off Push to Talk.
You did.
Yeah. We asked you to turn off Push to Talk.
And
because every time you spoke, your first word was
I hate Push to Talk.
First word, I hate Push to Talk.
So, for the normal podcast stuff, I'm used to just muting myself and hitting the mute button on the mixer and going. I'm trying to clear up desk space, so I removed my 12 input mixer and replaced it with like a 4 input mixer that I have here. And it doesn't have a dedicated mute button, but I can just, you know, turn the pot all the way down to zero,
yeah.
Zero gain. So that's what I'm used to doing. I hated.
Yeah, we mentioned that you hated it last time and said in the last podcast you should turn it off. Well, this session we just finally said, Brian, turn it off.
And it worked fine.
No,
and
it
worked
fine.
But my thing is, my video didn't work. And you guys kept wondering if I was even there.
Yeah, that's right. That made it even harder.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your video, you could never join on video.
Yeah, like I was eating. I had pizza delivered. Kim went and picked it up. But I was eating pizza, so I turned off the video so you don't see me going rah, 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 and just never came back on.
So, wow. Is that the main problem with the session?
No.
No. I think there were underlying problems that certainly exasperated by the technical issues, but I think we would have still ran into some of the same issues.
I don't know what went wrong.
Here's
aside from the audio stuff. So
I have a very good feeling what I felt like in the game was the problem is that we kind of, how did you describe it? Like 2/3 of the way through Monster Squad, they just decide, hey, we're going to go ahead and take this into our own hands. And we sort of did that this time, but we couldn't commit to it.
Right. So the note I actually put down was that the murder hobos were shut down by our antagonist being a lady. So we came close to making some very, very poor decisions, but I think at the very end, you know, our consciousnesses kicked in.
We decided just to kill her.
Basically, and then we didn't.
And then we didn't because we said, okay, you you know, turned yourself in, confessed to your crime because that was the right thing to do, we felt. And of course it didn't work out. But we kept teetering on the edge of making that decision, like it felt like, for a while. And we just sat there trying to move along with the game, and we couldn't do it.
I think a lot of that was, you know, she was a woman, she was of higher education, and while we had her dead to rights of doing this horrible, terrible act, we did not act on her the same way we did as on the country guy.
Well, the country guy we never killed. We just beat him up.
We didn't. We certainly didn't save him, though. We left him to die.
But yes.
So basically, you felt no guilt at all about beating up this redneck.
Yep.
And leaving him to die.
Yep.
But the minute the antagonist is this, you know, polished, presentable.
No, it's just because, I think it's just because she's female.
Mm. So it's pure sexism.
Yes.
it's the fictitious notion of chivalry that was never real, but we believe it is anyway.
That's a good way to put it, too.
Okay, so I don't even know how to go after unpacking that. Let's come back to that.
Okay.
I was mystified. I thought, I knew walking into the session that my problem in the past had been hooking you guys.
Yep.
And I solved that last time. And I thought, this time I'm going to solve it even more. And Chris's character is the one with the film background, so I had him acting as a consultant, stunt person, on the set. And I opened the session up with a freaking encounter with a ghost.
Yep.
And I'm not bad-mouthing Chris at all, but here's what happened, which is a symptom of the way we were all acting, I guess. Chris refused to take it seriously. His character was like, oh, what's that? It's a puppet. I'm like, okay, it comes closer. Oh, I can't see the strings. And he's just being a goofball. And finally, I had it attack him and do damage.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's goofballing it up about, it's not really a ghost. Like, dude, this is your fifth session. You know.
Ghosts are real.
Your character knows ghosts are real. Like,
you've punched them in the face.
He was completely goofballing it up. And I'm not laying this all at Chris's feet. I guess what I'm saying is, were we all just punchy?
I think there was a lot of that.
It was like we were all drunk.
So I'll tell on myself. I was actually probably being quite distractive in chat, in the group chat. I don't know if you were seeing it or if you even had chat pulled up in your window, but I was being kind of a goofball. I think I was actively distracting Nathan and Chris with chat.
What was up with all of us being like I didn't goof off so much, but what was up with all the goofs? Were we all tired?
I don't know. Maybe. I think some of it was that we did have trouble getting this session started, right?
So because of the connectivity.
Even not because of then, but getting to a lead to put us on the right path for the plot line. We didn't follow up with Jimmy until like 20 minutes after we had done all this other stuff.
I was honestly, I'll be just completely honest with you. I was kind of lost. I think I blanked out or was paying attention to something else early on, and I missed like a very important hook as to what Chris was doing with the ghost.
Yeah.
I read something in chat. Somebody made an allusion, probably you, to the scene in Ghostbusters with Ray.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that's what was going on. And it took me forever to actually figure out what in the heck was actually going on. I think when in the game, when I don't think I had even a clue as to what happened until we met the person who was injured in the filming.
The girl.
The girl. Yeah. I think that's when it finally clicked to me as to what happened at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
I think that was just a point when Chris's connection was especially bad and I was multitasking or something. I don't know. I don't think it was you. I think it was me. But I was just never able to recover, and I didn't want to be like, hey guys, what just happened?
If I had to give specific feedback about what I think went wrong, I would have had the Jim NPC character stay with Chris's character throughout the whole thing. I think when he ran away and we didn't stay with his character, because he should have been the main lead clue-giving NPC, and we just basically lost him completely. And
yeah.
We spent a lot of time just putzing around trying to figure out.
I was trying to cue Chris to run away. I was trying to cue Chris that this is real. And he just goofballed it up, and he let the guy run away.
I really liked the setup, though.
Yeah.
Where the drama department hired him on as a consultant.
Yes.
And they weren't paying attention to him. It was just basically they had to have it for
insurance.
For insurance
whatever.
Purposes. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was great, and I thought, hey,
I put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah. I mean,
and then I dropped a ghost in his lap.
Yeah.
To start the session, and it just didn't. And after that, it completely floundered.
Yeah, and for whatever, again, whatever reason, it wasn't clear to me as to what was going on during that encounter. And I honestly thought it was just recreating the dream scene from Ghostbusters.
That absolutely was my fault. My bad.
So what do we do differently next time? Why were we punchy? We're not usually, and it was all of us, not just one of us.
Honestly, I think probably the reason that we were punchy, I tend to feel punchy in a game when I feel that it's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
And if I feel that it's gone off the rails and it's not, it's almost like we're not putting the effort into it, or we're not taking it seriously. That's when I get punchy.
So when a session goes that sideways, would you guys, should I have just an hour in just called it?
I think honestly, we should be adults and put a pause and say, I think you even did. Do we even want to continue this?
Yeah, he tried.
Yeah, I think you actually did that.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we were like, no, let's do it.
Let's keep going.
I think we probably should have just decided to either revisit or just call it a scratch. And yeah, I kind of like where the thing ended up, because at least it's left.
Yeah, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use where it ended up.
So I loved where it ended up.
I was even thinking about it the next day in the shower about how to approach it.
We are going to pay for our consequences for the first time.
Well, yeah, no. You guys did some boneheaded stuff. Yeah. And I'm going to punish the hell out of you for it.
I think we might need help from someone's father.
I think we're absolutely going to. I think I'm going to need some help from my father. I don't know what you guys are going to do.
So I think that's what they broke and entered into this professor's home.
With the intent to kill her.
Yeah, with the intent to kill her. Recording the whole thing, forcing her to confess under duress.
Yes.
By the way, Mike, did you notice that I roleplayed her to never say anything that you didn't say first?
No, yeah, I noticed that when you were doing it, and I was like, oh, this is going to backfire, especially when you were like, do you let her go alone with the cops? I was like, I should probably say no, but...
I honestly thought since the cops were so useless that it, you know, they would be...
The cops are useless when anything supernatural is happening.
Yeah.
That's when the cops are useless.
But in this real scenario, I've been trying to telegraph that. Yeah, in this real scenario where we did very bad things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But a couple of football players breaking into a professor's house.
Baseball, thank you.
Okay, sorry, my bad. Definitely a couple of jocks. How about that?
There you go.
Breaking into a professor's house with a gun.
Can I telegraph what I want to do?
Yeah.
I want to, no matter the consequences, I want to find her later on and kill her.
So. And where this vitriol is coming from is once you got to know what happened to poor Maggie.
Yeah.
You guys felt that.
Oh, yeah.
She murdered her on screen, dismembered her.
Yeah.
And I really played it up. I played
mercilessly.
Maggie up.
Yeah.
I really role played up Maggie's complete indignation and furiousness.
Yeah.
At having her death screened thousands of times.
Yeah.
For thousands of people.
So I honestly kind of want to revisit the courtroom with this. But
we agreed last time that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, I just really want to, maybe in my character, especially being how I role play Alex, maybe he's his own counsel, and I want him to call Maggie as a witness.
Maggie the ghost.
Let's talk about this. I was toying with the idea of having Troop 616 get involved.
Is that the
evil Girl Scouts?
Yep. I think that could be a good way to go. I think there's a ton of ways we can go with this, right? So, and I don't think any of them are going to be a bad direction.
So is Troop 616 the actual thing?
Yes.
That's awesome. You know why it's awesome?
I that's why I named them that.
Oh, you named them that?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yes. I don't know why that's awesome.
616 is one of... So 666 is the obvious mark of the beast.
Yeah.
But there's another numerology argument that it's actually 616.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and I thought naming them Troop 666 would just be way too...
That's too obvious.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much. You know who I actually discussed naming the troops, naming the Girl Scout troop over with?
Who?
My boss.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you guys all know her, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But she was like, how's the game going? Just because she, I guess, wants to be sociable. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to tell her. So I told her about this plot thing, this device that I was developing. And I told her I was struggling with what... You know what troop number to give him, because 666 was too obvious, and 1313, and finally I came up with 616, and she approved.
That is great. I love it.
That's awesome.
Tying people together, multi generational. But I was thinking about getting them involved, so I'm glad you telegraphed Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna, I don't know how I'm gonna resolve you guys being in jail. But
yeah, the worst case, breaking and entering.
But you did some dumb stuff.
We did some dumb stuff.
We did some really dumb stuff.
We should have just killed her.
You know what bothers me too? Here's the other lesson I'm taking away from this. You can have this whole campaign that you take seriously, and then you have one session where you're punchy and things don't go right, and it goes way off the rails, and your actual campaign is forever changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your campaigns are a fragile thing. One bad session can take a campaign.
It's like life.
Yeah. And then, and is that sort of what happened in fourth edition? Did the Dusk session tank that campaign?
It certainly did.
Yeah. I think that's a good point.
I think we established that actually.
Yeah. In a previous episode. Yeah.
All right. I don't know what else to say about this. It was the session was a 3. As we
out
said
of
in our
10.
Last, yeah, 3 out of 10. As we said in our last podcast, even though it was a terrible session, none of us have considered quitting this campaign, I don't think.
No.
I was actually asked point blank by my wife, why are you still playing it?
You know what?
Because we've committed.
I was closing the show, but F that. Before I close the show, Brian, tell me more about, you came out of this room, what'd you tell Kim about the game?
She always asks how it went. She always does, whether she cares or not. And she doesn't. I think she does it to humor me.
She's a good wife.
She is. And I'm like, it wasn't good. I'm just like, usually I'm like, hey, it was good. I, you know, the whole joke about how you can ask your wife how her day went and it'll take her the entire length of the day to tell you. And you can ask the husband how the day went and he can answer it in like 4 words.
Yeah.
I'm the 4 words guy.
I'm the 4 words guy too. Yeah.
I'm like, it was a good day. Or it was an okay day. So I'm like, it's okay. But then I'm like, but, you know, it sort of ran off the rails a little bit. It just wasn't, like, we had connection problems and just the game never clicked. And just for whatever reason, it just, you know, just it just didn't work. And she was like, well, why are you even going to play it? And it goes back to something we actually were talking about in the last episode. It's not about one game. It's about the whole it's more than just turning on a video game and playing it for 5 minutes and deciding, oh well, I don't like video games anymore. It's sort of like a way of life, or it's at least a hobby that we take more seriously than we've invested in it.
It's one chapter in a campaign, and then broader than that, it's one campaign in a series of games between the same group.
I even went in and said, and we don't really like the system. And I think that's, she was like, well, why do you still play the system? Because we have a campaign for this.
Well, and I want to, so many people love the system. And I want to figure that out. I do. And I have this real love for generic systems. So I want Savage Worlds to work. I want to figure it out. And I think we get a little closer every time. We didn't mess up any of our trait rolls or combat or any of that stuff this time. We didn't mess up any of that. And what took the session off the rails was nothing to do with the system.
Oh, right. And you know what? You know what? We even forgot to mention it. My character got shot.
I know. How crazy is that? Your character got shot, but then didn't take a wound, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That
well, you were shaking.
Yeah. Still. Weird.
Yeah. I rolled damage on that and barely got over your toughness. Yeah. So you were shaking.
I really like Alex as far as his stats go. But I have never, ever, and it would have been the perfect game to use it, never got a chance to use my chainsaw.
When she, I knew she had that Glock. That's why I had her clutching her purse when you guys scared her. And I was asking a lot of questions about how far in do you let her get? And you never let her set her purse down. And I mean, the school's in Texas, so she was armed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had her back up into a corner and get where you guys were all pretty far away. And I had her blast you. She pulled out a gun and she took her turn and she blasted you. I was so hoping to kill one of you.
Oh, that would have been bad.
GM should never say that. GM should never say that. But after, Mike, you've repeatedly asked me for consequences.
Yeah.
And you just fully broke and entered and didn't control your victim or whatever. I was hoping she was going to shoot her way out of there.
So had one of us died, how would you have kept them engaged for the rest of the campaign?
Not another character. Another sweet mate.
Okay.
The college is full of students.
I'm surprised you didn't want to make one of us a ghost. That could be a little difficult mechanically, but
yeah, we'd figure it out. We'd figure it out. We really, yeah, anyway. And we, you know what? I was going to close earlier and we never went back and revisited the whole sexism/chivalry thing.
Yeah.
So we're older guys. Is that a thing that we're working through? You know, treating this female antagonist with equality, or, is it Unpack it for me, Mike. Are you not wanting to attack her because you don't think you think we would judge you, and you don't think it's the right thing to do, and you're playing up the character to be that way, or you truly, Mike, don't want to do this?
I think it's me truly. Mike does not want to do this. I do not want to play a character who thinks it's okay to murder women.
But dudes are okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'd say even murdering dudes would be okay, right? I Mike, would still have reprehensible for me to even think of murdering another dude. I would definitely be more violent with another dude. I would definitely do more questionable things without being as concerned about the consequences. But yeah, I think it's me personally who has an issue with the thought of murdering the woman.
It was instilled in me when I was young to not hit, harm,
yeah,
a lady in any way.
Yep. Like 100%.
Yeah. And yeah, I consider people who do that reprehensible. That's, I think I said that, or one of us said that it's the lowest person who would steal like an old person's social security check, and somebody who would harm a woman, I put right up there.
Yeah.
I can't, it's hard for me to get past it in the game, even when it was justified.
Yep.
And in your defense, you're playing characters that you know, were born in the 70s and are, no, actually probably born in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And are going to college here in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see how we eventually have to deal with Julia.
With Julia, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're going to use the game to cure you of your sexism when it comes to taking out antagonists, regardless of gender, creed, whatever.
Yep.
All right. So, game went off the rails. Audio had a lot to do with it. Audio probably made us punchy. Us being punchy took it further off the rails, and when we were offered a way out, we didn't take it, and we kept on with the session. But we recovered it into a potentially interesting campaign moment where now you guys are going to be stuck in jail facing some pretty serious charges that you yourselves put on videotape. I can't wait to see how you get out of this one.
Yep.
But Your Honor, we asked her to admit that she murdered somebody, and she did.
The ghost told us she murdered her. I don't see what the problem is.
Case closed.
You can hear me on the tape telling her to tell the video camera that she buried her body in concrete.
I really do think the only avenue we're going to have is being able to convince someone to go find Maggie's remains and go from there. I think that's the only option, unless we can just totally weasel our way out of it.
And this is why I love RPGs. Now I've got to go Google how can the police exhume a body from a concrete foundation.
Without having to dig up and destroy the entire dorm.
Yeah.
Right? They had to take x-rays.
Can you x-ray it? Like, I don't know. This is why RPGs are so interesting, because of the things that you were forced to have to go Google.
Sonar.
Yeah.
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 I'll Google it.
Yeah.
Surely there's an anthropology department at East Texas University.
Actually, that's a good idea.
All right, guys. That's RPG Lessons Learned for this week. Thank you for listening.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.